Test 1, 2. Good morning to one and all. What a wonderful day God's given us today, a great day to come before Him with thanksgiving and praise. Welcome to one and all. We're glad for everyone that's come through the doors today. I'm excited about our worship service today and the praise that we give to the Lord. And again, I trust that your life today is drawing closer to the Lord and that you want to praise Him and give Him thanks today for all that He's done. Today is our Sanctity of Life Sunday, so we're going to be exploring some of the things that God's Word says about the value of life. So let's join together this morning. If you're able, let's stand. We're going to sing Children of the Heavenly Father, and that's on the screen for you this morning. This will be verses 2, 3, and 5, or 2, 3, 5, and 6, and then back to 7, 10 if you do have a hymnal, Jesus Loves the Little Children. So as we think today of life and how we start out as children, are you a child of God this morning? But we're glad for everyone that's come out this morning. Starting with stanza 2. God His own doth tend and nourish. In His holy courts they flourish. Like a father kind He spares them. In His loving arms He bears them. Now we're going to stop for just a minute. This is a hymn, again, that talks about the love of God that He has for His children this morning. A very tender hymn. I trust today that you're walking in the arms of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Stanza 3.
Neither life nor death can ever from the Lord His children sever. For His love and deep compassion them in tribulation.
Stanza 5.
What He takes or what He gives us shows His love. Love so precious, we may trust His purpose wholly. 'Tis His children's welfare solely. Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in His bosom gather. Offered, He will love and He will bless us.
And then the first two stanzas of Jesus Loves the Little Children.
Jesus calls the children dear, come to me and never fear, for I love the little children of the world. I will take you by the hand, lead you to the better land, for I love the little children of the world. Jesus loves the little children. Children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus is the shepherd true, for he loves the little children of the world. Great and strong, and he'll shield you from the wrong, for he loves the little children of the world. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
Thank you for the good singing this morning. Let's remain standing for our invocation. Our loving Heavenly Father in heaven, we come before your throne this morning. Father, we know we live in the midst of a broken and sin-cursed world. Yet, Lord, there is joy to be found in a walk with you. And we thank you today, Lord Jesus, that through your power and your work on Calvary's cross, we can literally crawl up in our Father in heaven's lap and say, "My Daddy," if we know you as Savior. So we thank you for that wonderful relationship that we have that supersedes and supervises over all others. Lord, thank you that you love us as children and that you have a tender care for each and every one of us. Lord, today it's our prayer that we would be a blessing to you as we bring you praises and heartfelt worship. We thank you for all that have come out this morning and for those that yet may be on their way or contemplating coming. We pray today, Lord, that you'd hold Satan's hands at bay as he seeks to destroy lives and, Lord, to hinder people from coming to you. Lord, we know that you have the answers in this broken and sin-cursed world, and we thank you for that. Lord, we do pray now today as well as we focused on the sanctity of life, that this would be a day that, again, we would understand that it is your will that life would be preserved and that life would be eternal for all mankind. And so, Lord, we pray today that there would be, if there would be someone here that has never placed their faith and trust in you and called upon their Father in heaven to save them, Lord, that this would be the day through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for our community this morning and that Fruitland Baptist Church would be a place where people could come, a refuge to hear the Word of God, and Lord, a lighthouse to those that are seeking and that are in trouble. Lord, we know that even some of our own number are not here today. They could be ill. Lord, there could be other hindrances. Could be today, Lord, people are grieving or that they have been depressed about things or upset about things. Could have been a fight in the home today, Lord. All kinds of things. But I just pray that you'll be working in the midst of our lives and, Lord, that you will show people your love for them and your patience with us this day. Now, Lord, we pray that we'd be a blessing to you, and we know this, Lord, that your blessing of your presence will be with us today as the saints gather. And we just ask that all would be done here, Lord, that would be pleasing to you and bring you honor and glory. And I pray these things now in the great name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. We still aren't quite back online fully with choir and some of the other things, but the bulk of our programs here are back online, but I would like to briefly take us over to the right-hand side of the bulletin. Also this morning, I think it is appropriate that we announce that we need to pray for the Woody Meyer family at the loss of Toby. If you hadn't realized that this morning, there is a visitation from 2 to 5 up at Ralph Wittick's this afternoon, and please be in prayer for that family at this time at the loss of Ferry, or Toby as most of us knew her. Yes, Ralph Wittick's on Hauser. Yeah. Well, it's actually Ralph Wittick, Riley Frears. I think that's it. Yeah. So we've had some changes, haven't we? We have We now have the Holenbaugh and Snyder funeral home that used to be George Wittick's and Stacy Lewis, but things change. But again, remember the Meyer family. Also, tonight is our regular 6 o'clock service, and the message there is Paul's strategy for real church. Come and join us. This is a little different thing we're doing through the winter, at least through the winter. But we're learning within the walls how to operate without the walls, how to reach people for Christ. And so come and engage in this. This is not just a preaching service. It's an interactive service. It's like a workshop. And as I've told all of our people and myself, if you want to get something out of it, put something into it. That's right. And that's a blessing if we can work together to see those things happen. Missionary committee meeting tonight after the evening service. It'll be very brief. Pastor and deacons, and our Sunday school superintendent is a deacon, so that all fits in there. Ladies Bible study, February 6th and 20th, coming up. That's at 10:30 on Saturday mornings. And then you'll see my thought for the week there. Is there anything else we need to announce this morning? Judy. Oh, it is. Okay. 10 o'clock. Okay. Well, I'm sorry about that. I'm usually not involved in that. They've excluded me. But no, they haven't. But I think they have plenty of things to visit about there. But come and join them. And again, we're under the COVID thing. I mean, I shouldn't come around and shake all your hands. But if it was normal times, we'd all stand up and greet one another and say hello today. But be sure to encourage one another today, not only as you come into the service, but as you go out. Judy, go ahead. Oh, I thought you had your hand up again. Morning, Rosa. You got some good attention from Judy there. We're glad you're here. Is there anything else that I have not mentioned? Okay. Then at this time, we don't pass the offering plate anymore, but as you're led by the word, the guidelines that God gives, we know that all things come from Him, and He doesn't force anyone, but as you're led, we have an opportunity to give at the back of the auditorium. Also today, there are some special things, literature from Pregnancy Resources, which is a group in the Quad Cities that comes to Muscatine, but works with folks that may have questions about pregnancy and raising children, but it's a Christian-based organization that we've supported. There are also some baby bottles around here, aren't there, Deb? Should be back there. That's a thing that you can take for some change that you may come up with, and those get taken back to Pregnancy Resources. You can Google them in. They do some great things. They've been here to speak before, but take some time to look at that with the handouts that are in our bulletins today. So we're going to take just a few moments now as our gals play here and meditate after we thank the Lord for the gift and the giver and that our hearts would be prepared for our morning worship service. So shall we bow at this time? Father in heaven, thanks once again for your love that's so beautifully manifested to us. And Lord, for the fact that your word is indeed your love letter to mankind. It tells us how much you love us and also how much we need you. So today, Lord, I thank you for those that have been led to give. And Father, again, we understand from your word that all things are given to us by your very gracious hand. And I don't think there's a one of us in this room this morning that could say that we've ever been shortchanged by you, Lord. You've given us abundantly, especially in the fact that you've offered us eternal life at great cost through your Son, Jesus. So, Lord, I ask today that you would guide and direct those that are still contemplating giving, but also, Lord, that you'd bless both the gift and the giver today. And now as we turn our hearts toward the morning preaching and the feeding on the word, Lord, I pray that you would be in our midst and that today we would not leave here as we came in, but we would be changed and transformed and drawn closer to you. So this is our prayer this morning now, Lord. It's all for your honor and glory and grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much, ladies. Also, I just want to be sure that I welcome anyone that we might have visiting today. You're always welcome here at Fruitland. But I do have to point out a dear friend here that's with us today. His name is actually Ray, but we've all known him as Gene Allison, a Muscatineite, and I've known him for 40-some years. And it's always a blessing and glad to see him here. Just so you're aware, he's no longer living in Sioux City. We thought he was off in the hinterlands. He's now living up at Marion. So we're thankful, and maybe we'll see him a little more often, right? But we're glad you're here today, Gene. And for everyone else, glad you're here as well. Well, I think we must have a special, or Barb wouldn't be up here unless it was me and I forgot. No, praise God, Sharon and Barb this morning.
Please bear with me because I'm awful nervous this morning and I've been a little bit wobbly walking. So, and as we practiced this song, I couldn't get through it. So, boy, please pray for me that I will. It's got a message that you want to hear. Patiently, tenderly pleading, Jesus is standing today. At your heart's door, he knocks as before. Oh, turn him no longer away. Him to wait just outside your gate. Oh, yield to his wonderful love. Can you not near hear him calling? Do not ill treat such a friend. Give up your sin. Oh, let him come in. Lo, he will be true to the end. Don't turn him away. Don't turn him away. He will come back to your heart again. No day.
Thank you, Sharon. Wonderful message there in that song. Don't turn him away. You know, Sharon is very dear to me. She's my adoptive mother. My mom's been gone about 20 years, but you know, I always ask her every time after we've had a service when we greet, I say, "Now you aren't going to take me to the woodshed today, are you, Mom?" But Sharon, we're not going to take you to the woodshed. Thank you for that today, and that's a great message in that song. Well, we're missing a few people this morning. I think maybe people got scared by the weather, you think? Boy, they can sure hype it up, can't they? It kind of goes along. I'm going to have to deal with some of my stuff. For all of you that know me well, you know that I've got a lot of stuff laying around in different places, papers and parts and pieces. But it reminds me, you know, with the weather, and of course, we understand they do a pretty good job, and it does sound like we may have some decent amounts of snow tomorrow. But it's kind of like my aunt and uncle, Aunt Betty, some of you knew, that lived down at Fairfield and that farmed. We tended to think they killed the crop about five times a year. Oh my, we've got a terrible drought down this way. Or we've had so much rain down here that we're just in big trouble. Four or five times a year we'd hear those things. But guess what happened? Come October, November, we'd ask Uncle Rick, "Well, how was your crops?" "Oh, best yields I ever had." So, you know, don't listen too much to the weather, man. Use good sense, but we're going to trust God, amen? And, yep, so anyway, it's good to see a nice number out, though, this morning. You don't realize what a blessing it is to be here at Fruitland Baptist Church. I mean, we're a church that's still alive, and we're growing a little bit, you know. And you know what? I'm excited for the things that are to come here that God would have in store. Well, today is our Right to Life Sunday, and I trust that you have explored. By the way, does anyone need bulletins or literature or anything? This is not a note-taking message this morning that I have something supplied for. So you just have to do the best you can. We'll have a few scripture references, but then a key part of our lesson this morning will be out of Exodus chapter 1, so that'll be an easy find for everyone. But we want to emphasize always that God is in favor of life. And so this message this morning is maybe a little bit preachy. Oh, well, I guess that's why I'm here, right? But some things that are worth hearing. I'm gonna stick with my script here this morning, so to speak, a little bit because of the efficiency of time. And hopefully we'll get through this. But if we don't, what'll we do, everyone? We'll come back. We got a comebacker next week, Lord willing, on meditation. And we'll do the best we can in the time that God gives us. But welcome to our services this morning. Our message title is, "And Man Became a Living Soul." And so we'll investigate life today. And again, be thinking of what goes on in our world today and how life is not very precious in many situations, but it is precious to God. Shall we pray together? And we'll get started here. Our Father in heaven, thanks again for this opportunity to stand in this pulpit and bring your word forth. Lord, we know that your word is powerful. We know that at least two ways it's described in the Greek text, and that's dunamis and energos. Dunamis meaning it's like dynamite. Hebrews 4:12 fits right in with that. Your word is living and powerful. And then, Lord, we know it's also full of energy, like a power plant under control that has unlimited energy. So, Father, as we look into your word today, may that have a dynamic influence on our hearts and on our thinking. And Lord, as always, we're here to preach the gospel. That's the good news, that Christ not only came and died for sinners, that man's a sinner, but that you also conquered sin, death, and the devil and rose the third day and have offered to us eternal life freely, but yet at great cost to yourself, Lord. We acknowledge that this morning. Now, I'm the one that's responsible to bring this message, but it's not just me. Lord, I need your strength and I need the power of the Spirit to deliver this. Help us to consider, Lord, some of these things that may be new to our thinking, but I believe are real for the day that we live in. And Lord, I need your help as always. I'm the one that's up here shaking. You know that I don't have the capabilities to do this, but only through your strength and your power. Now, Lord, I also pray today as we think about the sanctity of life for people that have made mistakes, people that have purposely or accidentally taken a life. And Lord, that we've handled ourselves wrongfully, we're thankful that your throne of grace and mercy exists and you still love people and you'll still forgive people, Lord. And so we thank you for that. And we go in that attitude this morning. I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends in Christ, this morning we emphasize the importance of all life that was created by God. Do you believe that today, folks? I believe it with all my heart. The Bible teaches it, and as we have our eyes open through the Word of God, we come to understand that, indeed, life belongs to God. Always remember a general principle reinforced from God's Word that life is always endorsed by God, whereas death has always been at the behest and associated with the realm of Satan, the destroyer. Never forget that. God's on the side of life. Satan's on the side of death. You can ponder that this morning as we go. By the way, no one's forced to believe anything here today, but as I always tell you, check what I say with the Word of God. And don't listen to what I say necessarily, but make sure that it's the Word of God. Never follow people. Never follow men, because they're always going to let you down. But God will never let you down, folks, if we remain true to Him. But folks, we got to lay it on the line. Satan hates God's creative work, which the capstone of which is the creation and life given to man, because he cannot duplicate it. You know, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to counterfeit what God does. But let me tell you something, folks. He cannot duplicate life. You'll never find an instance that's genuine where he was able to do that. Only the God of the Bible can do that today. Thus, he wants to destroy life. From the very beginning in the Garden of Eden is where he started. When he again came to Adam and Eve, and we know again the Bible teaches that Eve was the first to take heed to Satan, but Adam allowed it to take place, and he is the one who's responsible, because he was the one that was responsible for the things that went along. But they were deceived, and of course that's why we have to deal with things like funerals today, folks, because of death. I preached a funeral this week. And I mentioned, like I do in most funerals, no one really wants to be at a funeral, do they? Oh, we may want to be there to support the family or the loved ones and so forth. But folks, it's not an easy thing. Man was never wired for death. God created us to live with Him eternally in paradise, like the Garden of Eden. But that's not the way things turned out. So this morning we promote life in the venues as God has ordained it, which is counter, in many cases, to our satanically energized culture and its shared reasoning. Folks, we need to grab the mindset of Christ, and we develop that from being involved in His Word. So walk with me in some biblical factors that promote the sanctity and the preciousness of life. And again, this is not my typical preaching this morning like I usually do, because I like to interact with you folks, but because of all the content we've got, we're going to have to move right through it. And I thought I'd hear an amen on that. Here's the first point. Thanks, Denny. While God values all life, human life is especially important to God. God created all things, but let's look at this just a little bit. And I want you to turn this morning to Genesis 2:7 if you have your Bibles or your devices. Genesis 2:7. If you don't, just listen along this morning. But humanity is important to God, and He shows that here in Genesis 2:7. Because humanity has a living soul, and I'm going to talk about that. Let me read that verse for you. And this is the account of how God formed the first man, Adam, and He formed him from what? This should apply to me, because I like rolling in the dirt. I have most of my life. You know, I don't feel right standing before you, you know, in these kind of clothes. In fact, I've had people before that see me in town when I'm in my greasy clothes and coveralls and a beard that's a couple days long. We didn't even recognize you. But anyway, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Folks, that's what we come from, the soil. Yeah. And here's the key on this. And He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So humanity has a living soul. What is the soul? The soul is our immaterial part. You're looking today at me, and you're seeing my material part. That's my overweight. You come down with all the defective things about me and all of us, folks. We're all in the same boat here. That's the body that we can touch, that we can handle. But our immaterial part, at least in humanity's sight, because God breathed life into us, again, is an eternal presence or conscience of who we really are inside. And my friends, even though our body is temporal, it gets put back in the ground in one form or another when we die. When we're resurrected, we get a new body. But folks, our souls are immortal. They are eternal. And once our souls are created from the fertilization of our mother's egg by our father's sperm, that is a living soul created by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a miraculous thing, folks. Now, I better get back to the script. Anyway, we have an immaterial part. The Bible calls it the soul that never ceases to exist. It's our conscience, our internal personality. And it exists, my friends, either in heaven or in hell. It's eternal. By the way, when we create a life, that's a very important thing. The creation of life is the closest thing we'll ever come to the creation power of God. Very serious thing. Not a flippant thing to create a life. Anyway, what makes man unique is that we were given the breath of life directly from God. That's what we just looked at in Genesis 2:7. So that all descendants of that first man, Adam, have this ancestry to those he created in his image that is capable or on par for fellowship with him due to our intellectual capabilities of his image that is given to us. We were created in the image of God. Now, let's just be clear about this, and we'll get there. If you want to turn to Genesis 7:22, and we're going to go quickly here this morning, that does not mean that the other critters that live on this earth that God created are without breath, right? It does not mean that they're without a soul, but it's different. Because as God created the animal life, remember I said a minute or two ago, humanity was the capstone of God's creation. The animal life is very important. It also has breath. Let's look at Genesis 7:22 here quickly. I got to turn one more page. And we know that, don't we? How many of you looked at your pets this morning or your livestock? Okay? And they are a living creature as well. Genesis 7:22 says this, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land died. And what's being talked about here is what? The flood, when God judged the world for sin. But critters have breath in them, but there's a difference, folks, because the critters are very important to God. And life is important to God of all types, but there's a little difference there because they were created with breath. They were not personally given the breath of life from God. Okay, so just so we're clear on that, well, I better stick to my script here or we'll get off track. But animal life is important. Or as is the rest of God's creation, the plant life and so on, as you read about the creation account. Animals are created with breath, but not directly like man, and not in his direct image, and without an eternal soul. That's the difference, because God breathed this as he created Adam, which is a direct presentation of himself into life. So animals have a personality and so forth, and we surely enjoy them. And, well, most of the time. I can think of a few times we worked cows that there was not so much pleasure, and you know hogs, they were always trouble. But I still like to eat bacon, right? Amen. Well, under limitations, you know. Maybe two or three slices, and if Kim's gone, then maybe four. So, but, by the way, we still have a woodshed out at the farm. And, of course, Kim's the one that'll take me to that if there's a problem. But haven't been there for a while, and praise God, hopefully we won't. But the fact of the matter is an animal does not have an eternal soul, okay? And it is a temporal thing that's here through their life. So there's a difference because we were created, man, in the direct image of God. As with all creation, death for animals has biblical parameters. As man, let me turn my page here. This is not my style of reading a message, but as man has dominion over them, but cruelty and abuse are never endorsed. Isn't that right? God, we are never to devalue the life of a critter, and they need to be treated very well. And God does not limit the fact that we can use them for food. He superintended over that. That is not wrong. But we still do it in a way that is wise. In other words, if you go out to hunt a deer and you shoot a deer and leave it lay and take the head and put it up on your wall, that's not a good thing, right? Because what's happened? You've wasted God's creation. And he allows that to be done, but he has parameters around that because he endorses life. So consumption for food is later endorsed by God, and plants, of course, from the beginning, and all living things are to be thanked for to God. So all life is important to God, and its preservation from the unborn to the aged. Amen? We're going to look at that here in just a minute. Go to Psalm 139 next here. From the unborn to the aged. God's original intent was for life to be unbroken, eternal paradise, like we said in the Garden of Eden. But Satan and sin entered to disrupt the plan. Now let's go to Psalm 139 this morning. Psalm 139. And here we're talking about human life in particular. Psalm 139. And we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 16 this morning. Psalm 139, 13 through 16. And this shows us again the support that the Bible gives in many places. This is just one place for the beginning of a new life as a life from the conception at fertilization of the egg with the sperm. And that's where it begins. So let's look at this. Psalm 139, 13 through 16. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. In other words, God knows, and he is the creator of life, and the one who has set the standard for that. It says here, we have been known and been covered in our mother's womb from the very conception of the egg and the sperm. By the way, folks, I believe that's where God says life begins. But more importantly, the Bible also says that God knew us before we were ever formed. Before our parents got together. That's a pretty far out thing to think about, isn't it? But see, that's how much God knows life and how much he endorses life. He's known us before we ever came to be. But he knows us for certain, here it says, in our mother's wombs. Verse 14, I will praise thee, the psalmist says, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, with all the advances we've had in science, we still can't plumb the depths of the miracle that is called human life. God gives us little answers about it through his word, but I'll tell you what, folks, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are made in the image of God. I'm going to tell you, we have intellect. That's the thing. See, God created us for fellowship, but it's more than just being around each other. It's the fact that we are able to think. We're able to reason. We're not on the same level as God, but we're on a level to have fellowship on par with God. Not that the animals can't have that kind of a thing, but it's not on that level, okay? They're important to him too, but it's so important. Life is a precious thing, folks. And I'm sad to say in our world today, it's been so much devalued. Life is cheap, but it's not, folks. Every life, every soul is important to God. You know, Christ died for whosoever will. Everyone is loved by God. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my souleth knoweth right well. Folks, don't be deceived. When you think about yourself, you know, if you put a hair out of your head, that's hard for me to find one of those, but put a hair out of your head under a microscope and be prepared to look at that in depth. And, you know, we can't even come close to understanding the miraculous creation work that is in us that God has given us. You know, and sure, we know that medical science and that has come a long way in the last 100 years. They've found a lot of great things. But I'll tell you what, folks, there's still a lot they don't know, isn't it? And they never will know all of it because we are miraculously put together by God. There's a mystery that exists there because it came from Almighty God. I'll tell you what, that's why we need to value life, because it's God's, you see? And just think of our brains. You know, we live in a world that's made quantum leaps in computer power. I remember back when I was in school in the 70s, and Kim, remember some of the rest of you too, There was no such thing that existed as a personal computer. As a senior in high school, I took a computer class through an old teletype. Does anyone even know what a teletype is anymore? It's like a friction printing typewriter that was tied through a phone cable from a massive computer in the Quad Cities, and we were able to write simple sentences on that and that computer to respond back to us. Think what you have now. I don't have mine with me. The power that we hold right in our hands. But folks, we haven't even come close to understanding what God has there prepared for us, you see, that came from his very mighty hand. Verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee, from God, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being uncompleted or unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Folks, life begins at conception. That's what the Bible teaches. I can't take you to the other parts this morning due to time, but that's the facts. And folks, if we'll open our hearts to the Lord, we'll find out that we were not just a mass of cells that was put together, but we, every human being, is of a divine providence of God. Life has ultimate value because it has value to God. And that's a wonderful thing. Well, let me get back on my text here. But God values all ages of life as well. That after the flood, in the law, he gave human government, when he gave human government, was that if it if there was premeditated intentional killing or murder that was committed by one human against another, their life was worthy of forfeiting because of the transgression. Now you say, well, that's kind of a hypocrisy there, isn't it, on the part of God? No. What God was saying there is, life is so valuable to me that if another person takes a life, again, wrongfully, which is called murder, he says that person is worthy of being put to death as well because they took that life. And that's God's providence and his will on that subject. So again, he's never in favor of murder and killing. He's in favor of life. God in his sovereignty has also directly taken lives of those bent on the evil taking of lives throughout history. So God, again, restrains that type of behavior. Sometimes he takes a life because he values an innocent life that's been taken. And he has every right to do what he will. But to date, my friends, in the U.S., since Roe v. Wade in 1974, which legalized a choice of a mother and a father. I'm not just picking on mothers here this morning because, folks, it still takes two to tango. There's been an estimated 64-plus million lives that have been taken from their mother's wombs. And, folks, it's called abortion. Now, we're not here to get into a political discussion. We don't preach politics here at Fruitland. But, folks, we have to take into consideration that that's a significant number of lives that had no choice. But hear me out further on this because, you know what, they're still under God's care. And let me just say this again, for anyone that's made a mistake or possibly has in that area, and I've taught on this specifically before, but let me just say today, though, God still forgives. And he can heal the wounds, because folks, when life is taken, that is a wound like none other. It really is. And there are millions of people walking around today with guilt and are struggling over things they've done, but God still forgives because he loves us. He knows we live in a broken world. He knows our propensity to do the wrong things, and yet he loves us. Well, that's one thing, but let's go on. God also values life at its end. And we should as well. I'm only going to give you a couple of verses here today. Leviticus 19:32, quickly. Back toward the beginning of the Bible. Leviticus 19:32. Leviticus, Numbers 19:32. Leviticus 19 and 32. Now, I don't know how to classify myself in this because it talks about the hoary head. Yeah, what little hair I've got is pretty white. Kim actually said it's silver, but I've never investigated that. But Leviticus 19:32 says this, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord." Tell me what's going on in our culture today, folks. I see it more and more the older I get. You're old, you're irrelevant. You agree with me? What, Dean? We won't go there, but he's elderly too. Age today, folks, there was a time, even in America, where you went to someone that had wisdom, and that usually was someone that was older. Not always. But if you want to know how things work, talk to someone that's been there and done that. But see, what we listen to in America today are people that don't have any wisdom. I was going to say they're a bunch of ding-a-lings. But folks, talk to someone that's been around. Talk to the hoary head, the white head. You agree, those of you that are here this morning? Further, we've been there and done that, haven't we? And that's not to negate the power and the good things that come from youth, because we need you too. And you know a lot too. But folks, wisdom and the elderly are to be respected. I see it happening more and more that elderly people are becoming irrelevant in our nation. But they're not irrelevant to God. You want to go to one more? Deuteronomy 27:16, because we're right there close. Numbers, Deuteronomy 27 and 16. Deuteronomy 27:16. If I can get one more page back here. I need someone to apply for the position of page turner for me. Deuteronomy 7:16. You get a raise every year. Doesn't mean you'll get a salary, but you'll get a raise. Here it is. "Cursed be he that setteth light by his father and his mother." Now, I've got the King James here this morning, but don't take for granted your folks. You know, our kids are to the age now where I'm starting to have a whole lot more dialogue with them. They're saying, well, maybe the old man does know a few things. Not much, but a few things. You've experienced that too. And that's what's being talked about here in 16. "Cursed be he that setteth or takes lightly his father and his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen." You know, if you still have your folks, and like Kay, you were privileged to have your mom to be 99 and a half, just lost her here a month and a half ago. That is something. And I wish I could talk to my dad again. My mom's been gone, I think, 19 years, but my dad longer than that. But, you know, they knew some things, didn't they? Anyway, enough said. The elderly are important. So he values life at the end, and these verses I gave you and more show value in the mature, and so should we. More and more pressure economically and socially is apparent that directly or indirectly euthanasia is being promoted in our nation as well. And what that really means is that even though people are able to continue and still have value to God, from one means or another, a lot of people are not being allowed to live the days that God has for them. You can ponder that and look into that, but I think that will become much more of a threat, again, as times change and as we get into situations as we are today with economics that will guide that. By the way, Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Human thinking is faulty. Divine thinking is right on course. Point two. We may not get her done today. We're down to about 12 minutes. Point two this morning, some threats to the endorsement of life in our day, and then a look at a historical count of attack on life and God's preservation through intervention. Well, folks, I'm going to tell it like it is this morning. Evolutionary acceptance devalues life because it denies life comes from God, like what we've learned here briefly this morning. And folks, our nation and our world, for the most part, has placed their faith in evolution, which is a theory. By the way, everything we believe is by faith. But I'm going to put my faith in the things that God has told me, because He says His word is truth. And it can't be proven wrong, and it can't. I challenge you to prove it wrong. People have tried. The Bible's been completed now for almost 2,000 years. People have tried, and let me just tell you this. You better be prepared if you're going to go against God's word. Because God's a lot sharper than we are, and there's been a lot of people that have tried, and you know what? They've been proven wrong. They may not want to accept it, but folks, I accept what God says by faith. If you believe in evolution, you accept that by faith as well, because it's a theory. You can't prove it. Anyway, this is a dangerous thing that's happened in our nation, because it devalues life. It denies that life comes from God, like we learned this morning. So let me just ask you a question here. What explanation do evolutionists have for death if evolution is constantly refining and improving the system progressively? Well, I'll tell you what their answers are. It's environmental. It's because of where we live. I'll talk about that in just a minute here. But folks, we know what the Bible says. Death was never in the picture till man what? Till man fell from the Lord and disobeyed Him. And then sin and death entered in the picture. God forewarned Adam and Eve, didn't He? Yep. But they went ahead. They did what they were told not to do. So I'm going to answer that in a minute about that very question, if you'll allow it. But here's the thing, folks. They will connect it with environmental factors. And I'm not just talking about the air we breathe and so on and so forth, or the diffusion of more sunlight that's come upon people that causes cancer. There could be some of that that is true. I mean, we know this. Even tires today decay when they sit in the sun. You know, the sun has those effects. But here's some of the other things that they'll say about our environmental factors. They'll say overpopulation. And currently we have some forces that are working our government today that want to set this up as a factor for what's going on. Man's misuse of the environment. Has man misused the environment? Yes. By the way, God never endorses using His resources recklessly. They were given to us by His grace for our good. Also, evolutionists will also focus on racial imperfections. You know, all this thing we hear about racism, I just got to say this one more time. You've heard it from me many times. There's only one race. It's the human race, created by God. There are ethnicities. But I want to take you back here, and I'm going to sneeze in a minute, maybe. I want to take you back here a little over 100 years to a gal named Margaret Sanger. Margaret Sanger is one of the four ordainers of Planned Parenthood, what we know as Planned Parenthood today. Do you know what the main emphasis of Margaret Sanger was? She wanted to eliminate the African-American ethnicity. She called it a race. Folks, Satan is still doing that. That's why we have all this trouble today. It's of Satan. He wants us to hate each other because of our ethnicities. But we're all from Adam, folks. We're one race. And let me tell you, there's been a lot of people killed over the subject of racism. Amen? A lot of lives have been taken. Folks, it goes right down the line, though, to today. It goes down to modern-day genetic selections. Do you know that you could have a designer baby today? So, in other words, if there was a trait you saw in this precious little one up here in the front seat, when you had tests done prior to birth, if they didn't have the right eye color, the right makeup, what would you do with that child? You select and say, I don't want that child. I want the one, and so we're going to do genetic engineering to produce the perfect child. By the way, who's this sound like, folks? Remember the 1930s? Adolf. You can go right down the line, folks. Genetic selection. By the way, we're probably not going to get there today into this account out of Exodus chapter 1, but the same thing went on them. Went on then. You've also heard of a movement that got started back in the 50s called zero population growth, which said the planet's overpopulated. Limit yourself to 2 children per female in this case. By the way, folks, you know what our birth rate is in America today? About 1.8. America is losing population from reproduction. This is not by accident, folks. You know, you talk about America being now around $30 trillion in debt. What difference do you think 64 million humans would have made as taxpayers? Our taxes would all be lower today if everyone that God wanted to live had lived. And you know what? Maybe the vaccine, if you go along with that, would have been come along 2 or 3 months earlier, because there was a mind that was snuffed out. We just don't know, but we know it's not God's will, right? Yep. 1.8 births per woman in the U.S., declining birth rate, because we've defied God's mandate to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Our son, Mark, has 6 children. We've given him some hard times about that, but I give him credit for it too. He and Amber. Large families that obey God and have children, my friends, though, are targets in our day because nominally they're Christians that are trying to obey God. And let me tell you, Mark and Amber will tell you, you're scorned when you have a large family. People don't want them around. You know that. Some of you came from big families. And folks, we become targets of Satan in these movements because, again, Satan hates life that God endorses. In my opinion, the environmental movement also is working toward the death of more people under the guise of more and better life. I got to mention Greta Thunberg this morning. Let's go ahead and shut down all the coal plants. And when it gets to be 30 below zero here in a couple of weeks, and I pray it doesn't, but if it does, some people are going to freeze to death. But is that what God wants us to do? No, because God endorses life. But you see, these movements that are afoot today are of Satan. They're, again, to cause destruction to life. Because let me tell you something, folks, no matter who rules this world until it's Jesus Christ, there will be, and by the way, capitalism is not dead, because even in the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917 or anything else that's come along at the behest of Satan, there was still a group at the top that believed in capitalism because they wanted to have all the money. And that's what's going on today. The elitists will not be without heat at 30 below zero. But the people that will die because of that, it'll be okay, because it's in the name of what? To save the planet. Does that mean I don't believe that all things are connected to some of our environmental things? No, absolutely not. I think they are. And our reckless use of things. But let me say something, folks. God's still in control. He has these things. But it's something to think about. Anyway. But to be sure, God does not want us to abuse the environment, but He endorses us using it. It was created for us. Environmentalism and evolutionism are religions of the evil one. Oh, the cause of death is sin in the garden by Adam and Eve, not only human, but of the whole creation. Go to Romans 5:12 quickly. Romans 5:12. Probably most of us could quote this, but I'll always read it. I want you to read it too. Because this is where death came from. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, even though God breathed the breath of life into Adam and into the human race, All of us, because we're genetically tied to Adam, we're given that breath. But we all, because of our tie to Adam, have come under sin. And that's why we have the situation that we have today. This is the answer that I was giving you, the question that I asked earlier. Because you know what, folks? What we have going on today is called the second law of thermodynamics, or the law of increasing entropy. And it simply says this, that without some kind of outside intervention, all matter that's created under the curse is going to decline. Things are going to become more random. In other words, if you have a handful of pencils and you throw them up, they're not going to come down all together like they left your hand. Unless you do what? Unless there's another force that intervenes and you put a rubber band around them. Because if you don't, what's going to happen? And folks, that's what's going on before our very eyes. Sin brings upon death. Now, there's only one thing that can change that. What's the rubber band? It's Jesus Christ, who came out of love to the cross of Calvary to die for our sins and rose again the third day. And when we place our faith and trust in Him, it's like John 5:24 says, we are passed from death. We're passed from the second law of thermodynamics, the law of increasing entropy, unto life. We're restored back into that pattern, and will be totally one day after we're resurrected and God completes His program. We'll be back in the Garden of Eden forever for those that have trusted Jesus Christ. And it's all because God valued our lives. He does not want eternal death for humanity. He wants eternal life. He wants eternal life. Jesus came out of love to regenerate, that's the word, humanity. He didn't reform us, He regenerates us through His blood. Back to God's original intent, to those who will believe and receive Him forever with God is where He'll put us when our time on this sin-cursed planet is over. Amen. Now, we're going to quit because I gave you my word, right? But we missed the most important part of this, of getting into the meat of the word. We'll have to come back. But we're going to go to Exodus 1 because I'm going to give you a two-minute synopsis of what took place. You remember the Israelites under Jacob, or under Joseph when he was sold into slavery. They ended up in a place called Egypt for 400 and some years, right? And things were hunky-dory because Joseph saved everyone through God's providence by providing the food and storing the grain. And you know what? People are pretty forgetful, because after 400 years, they forgot what God did through Joseph. And what happened, folks? The Israelites were put into slavery, and they worked the tar out of them. And here's the thing we'll see. The Egyptians were lazy. By the way, there's another reason our birth rate is low. I'm sorry for young folks here today. Male sperm counts in America are low today. You want to know why? Because men have become lethargic. But see, what happened over there in Egypt, the Egyptians worked the Israelites, they worked the tar out of them, and we become overweight. And I'm showing you. I mean, I know that. You don't need to tell me again because I'm aware of it. The Israelites were populating Egypt and they were afraid of being taken over. It's racism. And old Pharaoh says, we're not going to let those people take us over. Guess what they did? They killed the babies. We'll look at that. That's a whole times text right there. But bottom line, one of those babies was saved. And his name was? Moses. We're going to learn about that. And God used Moses to deliver His people from the hand of Pharaoh, from the Egyptians. Folks, I'm going to go to my conclusion. So in conclusion, the Christian community has a message and a mandate to operate and stand for God and human life. Be assured it will not be a cakewalk. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. So get up and get the word out. And remember this, God forgives people who make and have made mistakes. That's what I'm here to tell us about today. God wants things to be set straight. And he's not like what Sharon might mean to me if I preached a bad message today. He's not going to take us to the woodshed. He doesn't want us to go to the woodshed. I'm having fun, Sharon. Please don't get mad. God's anger was taken out on his son Jesus on the cross as Jesus bore our sins. Folks, let me tell you this too. All the aborted babies are under his care today in heaven. So while I think abortion is a terrible thing and I can't be in favor of it, I also know that God has it all under his control. Because those little lives, and that's something else too, folks. This is one of these theological questions again. Well, what about these babies? Will babies be babies in heaven? Well, I'll give you my best thought on that based on the Word of God. All of us in heaven are going to be at the prime of our lives, just like how he created Adam and Eve. You can think about that. We won't get in a fight over that today. See, with the hoary head, I'm not up for fighting with people so much anymore. Maybe a little verbal sparring, but folks, all the aborted babies are under God's care in heaven, and Satan will never get the victory. Never. If we have been on the wrong side of this, don't let Satan have victory over you, because God forgives today in Jesus Christ if you'll go to him. He defeated Satan on the cross and in the resurrection over the power of death. This is a subject of great importance to God, though, folks, what we're talking about this morning. And it's happening before our very eyes. It's important to God. Is it important to you? The sanctity of human life. Amen. We're going to stand now at this time. We've got it up on the screen for you to sing. Pass Me Not, 795 in the hymnal. This is a song that was written by a lady named Fanny Crosby. But let me just say this in closing today. Stand if we're able today before we're dismissed. Call on Jesus. That's what Fanny wrote this song about. She realized, you know, she needed him. I'll tell you what, today there is reason to fear if you need Jesus and you don't call on him. We learned in our junior senior high class this morning, death can happen when, Landon? One heartbeat, one breath. We need Jesus. Today's the day to echo what Fanny Crosby wrote here. Lord, don't pass me by. Come to me. See, I'm going to cry when I think about this. If you need Jesus today, call on him, because he's there for you. He wants life. He wants eternal life for everyone in this room. I don't know where everyone stands, but I know this. I know where Jesus stands. And he wants life, not only for our time here on earth, but he wants it for eternity. Because the opposite of it in hell is eternal death. You make a move today if you need Jesus. He's close. I'm glad to always visit with the others here at Fruitland, but don't leave the building today till you know you have life. And by the way, support life. It's cherished by God. Let's sing together. You respond if there's a need.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Call out to him today.
Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
We're going to sing that refrain here in just a moment. But you know what? What the song says is true. Sometimes it requires us to get real, and that's called humbleness or humility. As we sing this refrain one more time, would there be someone that would step out today and come to Jesus?
Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. Why?
Have a great day in the Lord. We love you today. Lonnie, I'm going to ask you to dismiss us with prayer. I'll greet you at the back door.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that all those that have been taken, Lord, as innocent ones, are with you today. Lord, help us to see our folly here in this earth. And help us to see, Lord, the sin that our nation is living in. Lord, we're so sorry for it. Take us all home safely, Lord, and bring us back against you. In Jesus' name. Amen.